Allowed me this morning to share with you the word of God from 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll be using ESV translation. 1 Kings chapter 19. We will read from verse 1 till verse 21. All of that chapter. First Kings, chapter 19, we read from verse 1 to verse 21. If we found it, it reads as follows. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done. And now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life and to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escaped from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave even 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again for what I have done to you." And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of God. We read it thus far. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once more this morning for bringing us together just to come and hear your word. We ask you, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, that you may open our ears, you may open our hearts to hear your word. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit may reveal the mystery of your word, that we may come into understanding of your word, and that, Lord, you may be glorified. Speak with us, Lord. We are listening. Amen. Brothers and sisters, allow me this morning from what we've read just to sum up this text with a theme that says, "In my weakness, God's grace is enough." Enough is enough. I'm resigning. I've had enough. I tried my level best. Can't people see what is happening? Can't they understand what I'm doing? Are you accustomed to these words? Don't you at times hear people complaining in this way? Even God's children go through this difficulty. And believe you me, the complaint is mostly for a good reason. When you look in the opposite direction, especially of people who do not really care to serve God, they appear to be very successful in life. A colleague of mine shared with me the other day that one congregant dreamt. And this congregant had a serious family problems. She indicated that she prayed, she did everything, but all was in vain. Her problems could not be resolved until she dreamt that she had to slaughter for the ancestors. And only then her problems will be solved. So she did, and eventually she and her family succeeded in everything they did. She could not endure the suffering. But she's still a full church member, partaking in sacraments. But for her, it's important to slaughter for the ancestor to get her problems solved and for her children to get jobs. This indication that when believers looked at other people today and see how successful they become in what they do, they feel that they just have it too much with suffering in Christ. and believing in God. Hence, they have to seek for another resolution. Allow me this morning to say the prophet Elijah encountered the same problems in life. Elijah means whose God is Jehovah. The tishbite, the elders of the New Testament, suddenly introduced to our notice in 1 Kings 17 verse 1. As delivering a message from the Lord to Ahab, there is a mention made to a town called Tishbe, south of Kadesh. But it is impossible to say whether this was the place referred to in the name given to the prophet. But having delivered this message to Ahab, he retired at the command of God to a hiding place by the brook Cherith beyond Jordan. And that is where he was fed with ravens. When the brook dried up, God sent him to the widow of Zarephath, a city of Zidon. Here, the prophet performed two miracles. For her scanty store, the prophet provided food for the widow and her son, from a jar of meal and a cruse of oil for the space of 2 years. During this period, the widow's son died, and Elijah restored him to life. When you read in 1 Kings 17, verse 2 to 24. During all these years, 2 years, a famine prevailed in the land. At the close of this period of retirement and of preparation for his work, Elijah met Obadiah, one of Ahab's officers, whom he had sent out to seek for pasturage for the cattle. Elijah bade him go and tell master that Elijah was there. The king, having received the message, came and met Elijah and reproached him as the worst troublemaker in Israel. Elijah then challenged him to a religious contest between himself, Elijah, and the 450 prophets of Baal. The contest was to determine whether Baal or Jehovah was the true God. This was done on Mount Carmel. Elijah permitted his opponents to invoke their deity first. But when their efforts were in vain, he prayed to his God. But then he first asked the people around there to pour 3 times 4 jars of water over the altar, on the offering and the wood. God sent fire from heaven that consumed the burnt offering, the wooden altar, and even the water that had been poured over the offering. The result was that all the people fell on their faces crying, "The Lord, he is the God." Thus was accomplished the great work of Elijah's ministry. The prophets of Baal were then put to death by the order of Elijah. Not one of them escaped. Then immediately followed rain according to the word of Elijah. And in answer to his prayer, when you read in James 5:18, in that celebration, Elijah ran before Ahab the 27 kilometers to the royal residence of Jezreel. Brothers and sisters, God's plan is different. This is the Elijah we are speaking about. A man who lived with God. A man who God never forsook. Yet this is where Elijah's main problem begins. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, who was well known with her evil deeds, cruel influence on Ahab, enraged at the fate that had befallen the priests and prophets of Baal, threatened to put Elijah to death. She sent message to Elijah that if she doesn't destroy Elijah as he destroyed all the prophets of Baal, doomed is she. Beloved, Elijah entered Jezreel full of hope, but Jezebel dispelled all the bright visions of the future. We should remember that in the present temple of the people, Jezebel could probably not have dared to touch or to lay hands on the Lord's servant, but might only have intended to scare him, as it was only that she could do. Yet the threat produced the intended effect. For Elijah's faith suddenly failed him. He fled off the kingdom into the southmost part of the territory of Judah. Even here, he did not deem himself safe. He dismissed his servant and resolved to take refuge in the recess of Sinai, and there longed for death. One moment you experience the greatness of God in life, and the next you feel abandoned. This is part of life. Not to discourage people and not to make them skeptical about life, but in fact, to strengthen them, to strengthen their faith, and never to think that they can do anything through their own power. However, the fact that Elijah always had to run and hide was just too much for him. He considered it better off dead than keeping on running. The problem with Elijah is that despite the successes in his mission, he had his own expectation on how God should work. If God is in control, why does he, Elijah, always have to run? Why can't his mission just be simple? He's doing the work of God. Why does God not take extra care for him? Why can't the believers support him in his mission? According to Elijah, despite the fact that Obadiah told him that he hired 100 prophets who served the Lord, all the prophets have been killed and he's the only one remaining. Everyone seemed to be against him. Elijah felt that he had enough of the ministry. He cannot take it any longer. Brothers and sisters, this is sometimes how it feels in the ministry. Many believers and even ministers can no longer take the heat. You come at a point when you feel that it just doesn't help any longer. You cannot take it any longer. People do not repent. They don't want to cooperate. They don't want to understand. You begin to realize that even the church board or the church council too takes it its own way. You cannot reconcile them with the truth. You feel as if God is far off and he does not see. Why can he not look after you? After all, you are his child, or you are a child called by him to serve him in his kingdom and his church. So what is your resolution? I better go and sit in a lonely corner and ask for death. Or stand aside and see how these heathen people destroy themselves by refusing to listen. Or even decide to do things their way, as not to anger them. Because as long as you get along with them, it's fine. Or decide at once to have nothing to do again with the ministry and get involved in another profession outside the ministry. Brothers and sisters, God knows our needs. God knows our needs. What is Elijah's response to life's situation? Elijah fled in alarm to Beersheba and then went alone a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down in despondency under a broom tree. But as he slept, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And for a second time, the angelic messenger came again and touched him. This time, the messenger made him aware of his journey that it still lies ahead. And without strengthening his body, he will not make it. God has his own mission with his people. God does not forsake those he called. Our gracious God here did not lose sight. But God watched over his servant. He's miraculously ministering to his wants. God here does not only provide Elijah with food, but with strength for the next 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah did not even have to prepare for this food because it came to him being ready. It was only a matter of getting up and eating. This reminds us of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says in Matthew 6:26, "The birds of heaven do not sow seeds, gather a harvest and put it in barns. Yet in due time and season, our heavenly Father takes care of them." Jesus, in this gospel, emphasized the fact that we are more important than these heavenly creatures. Sometimes when we feel despondent, useless, and hopeless, God thinks different of us. He considers us important for his holy mission. He grants us the necessary strength to go peacefully on our contemplated journey. God provides with the bread of heaven. Jesus calls himself the living bread from heaven. Whoever partakes of this bread has everlasting life. What better can we expect? Elijah did not have this privilege which we have today. Get up and eat. When Elijah arrived at the Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, God appeared to him. There, Elijah was hiding in a cave. And God asked him the question, "What are you doing there, Elijah? What are you doing here?" This was a searching question to the one who has been called to do this odious and urgent mission. A searching question, even challenging many of us who are sitting here today in our different duties, in our callings, and in our responsibilities. Elijah defends his acts, saying, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This is the response of Elijah in a sincere expression of his heart. But is it just? Especially if he himself has several times experienced the greatness and might of the Lord, and especially after Obadiah told him of the 100 prophets he hired for the Lord. He, after all, came to realize that he's not better than the rest of the other prophets who died before him. High expectations. If I don't bring drastic changes, if people don't listen to me, if they don't go by my way, then my ministry is not successful. It's not worth being involved in the ministry. So it can be with brothers preparing for the ministry to have high expectations, but there in the field, not you, but God is in control. Through your own strength and power and wisdom, you will not make it. You will only, when you come to realize how small you are before the Almighty God. Elijah asked for death, but God gave him bread in a miraculous way. Elijah prepared himself for the grave, but God gave him heaven. God's plan for us is better than our plans. Our plans should be in the hands of the Lord. Man proposes, but God disposes. We don't have to worry about our lives and what will happen to us if we put God first, his mission first, and our lives in his trustworthy hands. Brothers and sisters, are we where God expects us to be? Or have we already thrown in the towel? Are we hiding somewhere in a cave, away and discouraged? Great faith is not always alike strong. Elijah was serviceable to Israel at this time and had all reason to depend upon God's protection while doing God's work. Yet he flees. He was not the deliberate desire of grace as Paul to depart and be with Christ. But God left Elijah to himself to show that when he was bold and strong, it was in the Lord and the power of his mind. But of himself, he was not better than his fathers. God knows what he designs us for. Though we do not, in whatever services and trade, he will not take care. He will take care that we are finished with grace sufficient. God touched Elijah's heart in a silent appearance of the wind and so bade him to return without delay to the land of Israel and prosecute the Lord's work there. He had to learn that God's mission was not of destroying a nation, but rather by means of rational weapons, the proclamation of his word. God wants to persuade idolaters to abandon false worship and turn to the living God in this manner. This mission also convinced the prophet that God does punish idolaters who do not repent. Hence, he commissioned the prophet to anoint three persons who were destined in providence to avenge God's controversy with the people of Israel. God is patient with us. He in a silent wind, touches our hearts and so gives us a daily strength for his mission. Are you prepared for the holy mission? Are you prepared for the holy mission? In conclusion, brothers and sisters, nevertheless, we should remember what Elijah received was not what he asked for. He asked for death, but God gave him life. He resigned from duty, but God re-employed him. His master did not sympathize with him. He sent him forth on his journey. On our life journey, we can sing together with the psalmist, chapter 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Amen. Let us thank God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. For there is none like you. You are a caring Father who really considers us at all times. Despite what we are going through, despite the challenges that we are facing, Lord, you are with us. We want to thank you this morning for your word. Give us strength to really rot, to take part in your mission. Here we are, Lord. Use us in your mission. We pray for the staff and all the students, for you, Lord, to bless them and to guide them in the work that they are doing. Give them wisdom. And Lord, let us depend on you. No matter how difficult the journey may be, let your spirit guide us in trusting in totality in you, Lord, and you alone. Give us strength, O Lord, at all times, and forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.